A number of years ago, in the city of Los Angeles, an English mining prospector arrived. His name was Courtney. He was 70 years of age. For 50 years, he had been in the deserts of Arizona searching for gold. When he came into LA, he asked about Queen Victoria and was astonished to hear that she was dead. As a car passed by, he jumped into the doorway in alarm, shocked to see it. When he was told about the radio, he flatly refused to believe it and said people were trying to fool him. He had been out of touch with civilization while hunting for gold. Many a believer gets out of touch with spiritual reality, with the problem that is clearly stated in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Will to be rich, deciding to meet the needs of life through materialism. Join with me, turn with me please to 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we look here at this important couple of verses. This whole section deals with the importance of us being stewards of truth. And the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, is encouraging Timothy to lead the church to truth. It is required in a man that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But that's speaking of a steward of the truth primarily. And in this matter of having right doctrine taught, one of the keys is the application of truth, and that is that contentment is key, and that the right perspective toward life must be had if we're going to know the truth and have a balanced view of it. Let me start with verse 5 of this chapter. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Those are the verses that we looked at last Sunday. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Genuine spiritual understanding of God, having a right focus upon Him. He is the Lord, a reverence for Him, a walking in that reality, therefore having a life marked by spiritual truth. And godliness with contentment is great gain. But now we go down to verse 8. Now we've heard this verse, and it's simple. But honestly, if it was the first time you ever heard it, it is rather jolting, shocking. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You say, well, you know, that's just hyperbole. Only trouble, it's said several other times in Scripture. Now, we know from Scripture, God says every good and perfect thing cometh from above. God is so gracious. But contentment must not come from anything more than the basics. God means what He says. Look at the next verse. But they that will be rich, there's the key to that verse, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. In the history of the world, no group of people has ever lived in as much affluence as those of us here this morning. Yes, we see some dark clouds on the horizon economically. We've certainly been up and down, and you may be sitting here thinking, I don't have very much of that affluence, and certainly understandable. But even in the worst case scenario, compared to 90%+ of the world, this is amazing. And so therefore, we have had to battle having the right perspective. God knows that. God knows that we were born into this culture or came into this culture at this time. And so it's important for us to have a right perspective and have a good balance on it, but to get a hold of some of the key truths that He has here. So we're looking actually at how to overcome materialistic dependence. And the first, the key to victory over materialism, we're going to look at that, and that is to understand the standard for contentment. And the danger here that we're looking at is making financial security a major goal or the goal. And this is something that that is becoming more and more dominant. The Generation Z and even the millennial generation is pretty desperate about getting financial security and accumulating wealth because of a lot of the difficulties that have come up over the last 6-7 years. And it's become pretty much an obsession because, granted, as I mentioned last week, it is much harder for a younger person to get a home. It is much more difficult in different areas of life. But we've got to be very careful that we don't make financial security and gain the key core of what we think will bring us the security and the purpose in life that we have. Once Frederick the Great was about to declare war, and he brought his Secretary of War in, and he says, I want you to make the official declaration. So he wrote it, and he began to state it to the emperor, and he says, whereas in the providence of God, etc., etc. He was interrupted. Frederick thundered, stop that lying. Simply say, Frederick wants more land. And what happens is we go from wanting financial security to wanting more because that's our nature. That is just part of our sinful, fallen nature. And so the standard for commitment is the basics. The Lord Jesus was very clear about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, that's money, and material things. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now that's the Lord Jesus. As I said, that one verse here in 1 Timothy 6 is not isolated. Now the whole point of this is not that we are to only have food and raiment, obviously. But what are we seeing as the key to having fullness and purpose and security in our life? What are we depending upon? Who are we depending upon? What do we have to be happy? And honestly, the level of what we think we need to be happy is much higher than oftentimes it ought to be. And so there is just that, there can be, and God wants us to work hard. God wants us to be focused on doing a good job. But oftentimes it steps over if we're not walking with the Lord, if we're not following Him, if we do not have our priorities right, we can step over into being absolutely obsessed by all of these things materially. A museum in Deadwood, South Dakota displays this inscription that was left by a beleaguered prospector. I lost my gun, I lost my horse, I'm out of food, the Indians are after me, I've got all the gold I can carry. And honestly, that is where people who will to be rich end up. We lose what is most important in life and for God. And so the basics and the Lord should be enough. Now God bless us. God gives us all good things to enjoy. We don't need to get a false piety about this. But we need to check our heart. For where our treasure is, there is our heart, the Lord Jesus said. Larson says in his commentary, so in the interim, if we have found food and clothing, we will be content with that. For Christians, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. 2 Peter 1:3. Add clothing, given man's need for covering and protection, then add food, given the human need for physical development and health, now we're all set. He's giving the sense of what that verse means. Is Christ enough? Is our walk with him enough? Are we willing to go through the seasons of life with much or with little, as Paul talked about there in Philippians 4? Where is our contentment? This doesn't mean that's all we should have, but what contents us? If our basics are there, we're walking with God, we're in the will of God, we're seeing God's hand, is that truly bringing deep contentment to our life? A mother got very fed up a number of years ago with the frequent complaints of her 14-year-old daughter at the dining table. Mrs. Fay Young decided to do something about it. She went over to the library to check on what she as a girl had eaten during the London Blitz during World War II. Then she put her daughter Janet on the same diet, a week's ration of 14 ounces of meat, 3 eggs, 3 pounds of potatoes, and 2 ounces of cheese. Sunday dinner was bread and butter and a hard-boiled egg. Janet decided after several weeks of that was a good lesson. I'll never complain again. But you know, that was enough. And we have to sometimes just really evaluate. Isn't this an interesting message? Let's be honest about it. It's a little uncomfortable. Because nobody here even takes that seriously. We know we have to have housing, we have to have a car, right? We have to have a cell phone. Now we're getting into, we have to have a smartphone, right? And we got to have that iPad, and we have to have this, and we have to have that. These all have become necessities. So when we talk about contentment with food and raiment, wow. The Lord really dealt with me as I was preparing this. Don't trim this back. This is what I said. Now remember, I'm not talking about that's what you are to have. I'm talking about what you are to be content with. That's the point. Contentment versus covetousness. A sense of satisfaction versus the will to be rich. To have your identity, to have your purpose, to have your sense of approval in life be the material acquisition and the status that comes from it. That's what is being dealt with. And so the Spirit of God gets our attention with this. Of course, this is in the Roman Empire, and many of the people had quite a bit there also. Many did not, but many did. So we have to then decide. We have to make the decision. Instead of willing to be rich, and that's the idea of will, to make the decision to make that our goal, we have to decide to instead to be content with God's standard. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see it again? Your God versus the things that you have. Are you content with such things as ye have? You know, many a believer cannot listen to the will of God, because if they did what God wanted, then their standard for what they had to have would not be reached. Extra time serving God. What about if he called you to the mission field? And the main reason is that doesn't fit into what your goals and what your standard of life is that you've had and that you're living for. Young men stepping out by faith, before they have security, but doing what God says at the time God says it, at the appropriate time in his will. Are we willing to give time to the work of God because there are around us thousands of people that desperately need the Savior? Are we willing to take the time in prayer to know our God? What is satisfying us? You see, these are probing questions, and so we must decide to be content with such things as we have. And throughout all the years as being a pastor, it's the believers that have determined to be content with what God has for them are the ones that God mightily uses. And by the way, that doesn't mean that those believers didn't have a lot at times. But it wasn't what their life was all about, and they could leave it at a moment's notice if God said to do it. Could you do that? Or is there too much fear? Is there too much status? Again, these are probing questions you can't even answer in a service like this. Well, the second point, we just have two this morning, results of lack of victory over materialism. If we don't allow the contentment to come and the will to be rich is what dominates, then we have three things here in verse 9 that we need to watch out for. For they that will be, purpose to be rich, they will fall into a temptation and a snare. Sinful entrapment. Materialism can truly capture someone. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. MacArthur says, people who want to get rich are tempted strongly and often caught in painful, debilitating sin like an animal in a snare. A Balami want refers to a settled desire, one born of reason, not emotion, and describes clearly those guilty of the sin of greed. The present tense of the verb fall indicates a continual falling into temptation and traps. Greedy people are continually entrapped by their consuming drive for more. Their pursuit of what they want is their passion. Their sinful behavior becomes compulsive and controls their lives. We all know this. You have to have money to sin most of the time. I mean, when you think about it, most things in modern world take money. But here it's referring to the fact of being trapped by covetousness, never satisfied, and constantly looking to get the American dream and thinking that that will be, once you have it, that will really meet the need of your heart. If you've ever gotten something you've been wanting real badly that's on the material realm, and it could be the blessing of the Lord that gave it to you, but the only reason it continues to be a blessing is if God did help you get it and you're thanking God for it rather than that being the ultimate end. The best illustration I know is I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait to Christmas and I knew my dad would always go all out. And man, oh man, it was exciting. Dad always had everything just laid out. And so, man, we tore into those gifts. You know, but in about 2 hours, we were bored again. You know, it's just the way it is. Nothing ever satisfies like you think it's going to satisfy. But the key is it'll entrap us and keep us from being and doing what God wants. Alexander the Great was marching on Persia, and it looked like the great Medo-Persian Empire was going to crumble, and it actually did, of course, later. But this was a critical moment if Alexander and his army was going to be successful. They had taken spoils of silver, gold, and many other treasures in quantities that were amazing, and the soldiers were laden down with it. It had spread out to all the soldiers. Alexander saw this, and so he gathered them all together and made them give all of those treasures to him. He put them all in a massive pile, and they set a great fire and destroyed all of the treasures. The soldiers were furious. But it wasn't long before they realized the wisdom of their leader. It was as if the wings had been given to them, they walked lightly again, and they were able to have tremendous victory again. They were entrapped by all of the success that they had had. And if he had not made that move, Persia would have overcome Alexander the Great. And so we need to understand that because of our flesh, we as believers, we certainly see it in the world, but we need to realize that the Bible says if it's our desire to be rich, if that is our main motivation, it's going to be a temptation. It's going to open to temptations, and it's going to be a snare, and it's going to entrap us. And it's going to be that which does not allow us to live as we ought. A tragic story was of a child who was to impersonate a cherub in an entertainment function, and they covered the cherub with gold. And before they could get the gold off, the child died because the body could not breathe. It's an awful story. But how many spiritually dead believers are there that come? Then the second aspect here of verse 9 is, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Speaks here of evil desires. They are foolish because they are irrational and definitely just like the flesh. They are they're like an animal in a trap, victim of their own lusts. Now, folks, will to be rich is in contrast with will to be surrendered. Again, I want to tell you, God gives wonderful things to people. I'm not talking about not having possessions. I'm talking about what is the heart issue. And when a Christian is fully surrendered to the Lord, then they have the power of God, and they're going to be able to have victory. But when we have covetousness, which is idolatry, as Colossians chapter 3 says, we will then not have the power of God. And if we make that the number one matter in our life, then we're going to not have God's intervention and His grace to keep us from the desires that wreck us. Can believers get into real sin? Unfortunately, they can. We don't have to. We can live consistent victory. In fact, God wants us to realize that sin does not have to have dominion over us. But when we make wrong choices and do not follow the will of God and our priorities are not His priorities, we put ourselves in a very dangerous position. James 4:1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And it's so tragic that all the problems in families and between people and the lack of really seeing God work is so often because we have wrong goals that lead us to wrong then desires, and Satan will come in and he can really attack. I've given this illustration before. John Burroughs, the naturalist, talks about how when a hawk, a mighty hawk, is attacked by crows and kingbirds, and they often do it, he does not even make a counterattack. He just simply soars higher and higher in ever-widening circles until his tormentors leave him alone. And friends, by the power of God, when the attacks come from Satan, if we turn our heart from the things of this earth to our Lord and begin to soar on eagle's wings and have that relationship with the Lord, we can have great victory over the one that's trying to wreck our soul. Well, we got to believe what John D. Rockefeller said, the poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. And it's very true that we are very much bankrupt about life if that is our major goal. And then quickly, the final thought here in verse 9, which drowned men in destruction and perdition, eternal ruin. It causes many, right now, there are millions that will end up in the lake of fire because they had the wrong God. And I could talk about that. That's heartbreaking. But you know, believers don't have eternal destruction, but they have eternal consequences in that standing before the judgment seat, they're not able to glorify the Lord like that we ought to. And there are not many eternal results that have come from the life. The idea here to drown is to plunge, to drag to the bottom. That's what wanting to be rich will do. It talks about ruination of the soul. And it's substituting the temporal for the eternal. Matthew 19:24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. We see that in the unsaved world, but how many believers in this materialistic country are not living in the reality of the spiritual kingdom? And it doesn't need to be. Destruction, Spence Jones says, destruction and perdition. The two words taken together imply utter ruin and destruction of body and soul. Cecil Rhodes, he was probably the instigator of the war between the English and the South African Boers. His main purpose was to obtain the rich resources of that area. When he was about to die, however, he cried out in remorse, "I found much in Africa, diamonds, gold, and land are mine, but now I must leave them all behind. Not a thing I've gained can be taken with me. Eternal treasures that abide I have not sought. Therefore, I actually have nothing at all." I could stand here for the next probably half hour and read you quotes of men like that. Very refreshing to hear of an Letourneau versus a Cecil Rhodes, a man who invested in eternity. But the point of this message, folks, is, are we content with such things as we have? Are we willing to do the will of God? Are we willing for God to tell us what he wants with our life, our time, our priorities, and our possessions? And are we willing to do it? If it means time when we don't have as much as the standard is that we have, are we willing to make our standard with food and raiment therewith be contained? And again, I want to tell you, it's not talking about we don't have a number of things that we need, but it's where do we truly get contentment? Is it from our relationship to the Lord, or is it from the things of this earth that we think we have? We will not take them, as verse 7 says. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And I would encourage us here this morning, and all of us have to face this, the will to be rich is the problem. To say that I have to have these things to be content, I have to have these things to be secure, I have to have these things to be successful, I have to have these things to make life meaningful. If we're willing to say, Lord, I give that to you, my will is to be satisfied with you alone and to have your will done. That's all God is looking for, absolute surrender. Can you trust the God that owns the cattle on the thousand hills? Doesn't he love to give good and perfect gift? Let him give it. When we trust him, work hard, do what we have. We ought to be fully engaged in everything that we're doing. But are we truly content as we ought to be? Let's bow for prayer.